Good morning. When you're ready.
May it please the court, my name is Hannah McFall, senior certified law clerk for the Sarpy County Court of Appeals, and I represent the appellant in the matter before you. Your Honors, today first, I would like to discuss how the criminal court erred in committing the appellant to the Office of Juvenile Services for commitment to YRTC when it failed to follow the procedures set forth in 43-286-1, lowercase b, lowercase Roman numeral 2, by not requiring the county attorney to file a motion for commitment. Second, I will discuss how the court failed to find under 43-286 that all levels of probation supervision and all levels of probation supervision had been exhausted and all community-based service options had been exhausted before committing appellant to YRTC. Under 43-286, when it is alleged that a juvenile has exhausted all levels of probation supervision and options for community-based services, a motion for commitment to a youth rehabilitation and treatment center may be filed by the state. Your Honors, no motion for commitment was filed in this case. This is important because appellant was not put on any notice of a possibility of commitment to YRTC. Walked in that day for a curious hearing with no idea about the possibility of being sent. The Nebraska legislature specifically amended this statute to add the provision that a motion for commitment must be filed before commitment can take place. Appellant's procedural due process rights were violated. The statute is about giving notice to appellant. It's about fairness to appellant. It's about giving her the opportunity to be heard, all of which were violated when the state failed to file a motion. For this reason alone, we feel this case should be remanded back.
There have been numerous hearings during the course of this case, numerous treatment methods tried, which apparently were not successful. Do you think the court was just kind of at its wits' ends about what to do with this young lady because everything else they had tried had failed? And this was kind of the last resort. This was all there was left.
Your Honor, we feel this was not the last resort. We feel that there were several other options that could have been for appellant for being sent.
And these were options that had not been tried?
That is correct. Your Honors, even if you find that a motion to commit does not need to be filed, appellant still needed to be provided notice prior to her commitment. And again, no notice was provided to her. She was, again, denied her due process right in the fact that she was not able to provide a defense to her, not able to call witnesses or to confront state witnesses. Under 43-286-1, lowercase b, lowercase number 2, places the burden on the state to prove by preponderance of the evidence to show that in fact all levels of probation supervision had been exhausted and that all options for community-based service had been exhausted. The state did not prove these items by preponderance of the evidence because they didn't file a motion and no notice was provided. The court, in appellant's case, presented the evidence for the state at the KPIS hearing. On page 129 through 131 of the record, it's clear that the court is just reciting findings but never any proof to support appellant's commitment.
Was any evidence adduced at that hearing? Was any evidence adduced at that hearing, at that KPIS hearing?
Not as far as witnesses or anyone. In regards to probation, the record is silent as to what level of probation was placed on. So we do not know that all levels of probation supervision had been, in fact, exhausted.
Can I take you back to the motion issue? Does it matter that during the KPIS review hearing, counsel agreed that the court could go ahead and proceed immediately to disposition?
I think it matters in the fact that there was no notice provided to appellant that commitment to YRTC was a possibility. And I think that statute provides that there has to be notice with this motion to...
And it's not a waiver by appellant's counsel when he says, go ahead and...
I don't think you can waive something.
But at that point, he is aware of what's going to happen, right? That there's going to be some disposition.
Correct. He was aware that they were proceeding to disposition, but there was no mention, no notice of a possible commitment to YRTC. I think that's what the legislature enacted. And they added this motion to statute, wanted to prevent. They wanted to provide house with notice. The record is devoid that the state provided beyond a preponderance of the evidence that all levels of probation and all options for community release had in fact been exhausted. Appellant was never placed outside of her family. She spent time with her mother and then was placed with her grandparents in Nebraska. But we feel that places like Boys Town, Bryan, LGH, for all community options that were not explored by the court or appellant. For these reasons, the state failed to file a motion to commit under 43-286, that even if a motion didn't need to be filed, appellant was still denied notice of commitment. And the state failed to establish by preponderance of the evidence that all levels of probation supervision and all options for community. For that, we ask that the court remand this case back to the jury.
Thank you.
Mr. Erickson?
Yes, Your Honor.
Good morning. Please.
My name is Andrew Erickson. I'm acting, I am a senior certified law clerk with the Sarpy County Attorney's Office. Today I'm acting under the direction of Deputy County Attorney Rothery. Your Honors, the state is cognizant of how delicate matters are when it comes to animals and placing them outside of the home. As was submitted in our brief, we feel that the matter was kind of taken out of our hands when the judge decided to go to immediate disposition. As this court is aware and as it is pressed, this was a case that had many hearings, about 11 hearings within a four-month period. Disposition was delayed on several occasions to try and seek out different, less intrusive alternatives to placing this minor child at YRTC. We believe there are great arguments on the other side as far as the statutory requirements for having a hearing. However, we believe that the operative term in 43-286 is that a motion may be filed. There was no opportunity given. At the time of this capious review, the judge asked the defendant, finally through her counsel, she agreed to go to immediate at that time.
But I look at this statute, and then I look at the Nadal case, and I see those being very specific as to what is required of the court in this situation. And I don't find the motion was filed, so no notice was provided to the appellant or her counsel. And then I read Nadal that says this is a last resort, and there shall be a written report from probation describing all of the things that have been done and all of the things that have been exhausted. None of that was done here.
Well, if you take the record in whole, Your Honor, you'll see that the judge, time and time again, throughout these multiple hearings, found these evidence was introduced. And I believe counsel was incorrect in saying that nobody was there to provide that at the capias review, because from...
Well, I think somebody from the probation office was present in the courtroom,
yes.
But there was no type of report that I found in the record anyway presented detailing that this was what was going to happen and why. Is that a fair statement?
I believe it is a fair statement to say that no documents stating that all options had been exhausted. I believe that the judge came to that assumption based on everything that he had seen over that period of time.
But does the record support that all levels of probation had been exhausted? I mean, it seems he skipped a few steps here in sending her to YRTC.
Well, I would not be familiar with which steps he skipped. The question, and the great question, is what constitutes all? I mean, we're dealing with a juvenile. How far do we go? At what point do we say, okay, you know, we really don't have anything for you? And I think
at that point it's when all other avenues have been tried and have failed.
That's a fair point. But I mean, even in netball, the case that you're pointing to, the Nebraska State Supreme Court stated in the decision that they declined to impose an interpretation of 286 that would require repetitive or ineffective measures. And I think the case before you constitutes that, because he had been placed in several different options under the CARE program. And when she complained that that was too intrusive, the judge tried, tracker program. And when that was unsuccessful, they placed her back under the CARE program. When that was unsuccessful, she asked to be placed with her paternal grandparents, and that turned out to not work as well. In the record, the juvenile specifically stated to the judge, I don't care what options you're going to give me, I'm not going to follow them. Throughout all these different programs that she was tried, different placements were also being sought as well. Applications had been sent to Boys Town, to Utah-Hawley, several foster care places, and each were not accepted. On the record as well, there's multiple times where mental health issues are raised. However, when she was placed and given the direction to attend counseling and seek treatment, she willfully went against that. So she never did, from what I've seen, gain that diagnosis that would allow her for maybe the option of a PRTF, a psychiatric residential treatment. That would be another option. However, through her own actions, she kind of precluded herself from that, because the PRTF won't take anybody that just has behavioral issues. They need an actual psychiatric diagnosis. So again, the issue here is, by taking it out of the state's hands to file a motion and to have a hearing, and by going to immediate disposition, are we going to afford the judge this discretion? And I believe that this court and the Supreme Court of Nebraska have always given the juvenile court broad discretion in how they lead to disposition of a minor child. And that's because they understand that these matters become complicated, not cut and dry. Each hearing presents something different. And in this case, again, it's abnormal for the number of hearings that this minor child was brought in on.
But the appellant is owed at least procedural due process when the statute sets out a procedure to follow.
Yes.
They're afforded that. notwithstanding the broad discretion of the juvenile court to do what they think is best.
And the state understands that. So, again, not a situation that would be created by the state and their actions, but the juvenile court. The juvenile court believed that they had that broad discretion to proceed to immediate disposition at that time. So the state would pray that you affirm the decision of the juvenile court or remand so that said hearing can be take place, the preponderance of the evidence can be put forth, and that commitment to YRTC Geneva will continue to take place.
How much time does Ms. Paul have?
I'd like to address the broad discretion that we brought up. In regards to broad discretion, it is true that the juvenile court does have broad discretion when it comes to this. But it also there's also when there is a provision affirmatively stating otherwise, which I feel is 43. Nebraska legislature amended this statute 2 times. In less than a year to provide that not only all options education, supervision, and community service be exhausted, but also that the state must file this motion. They felt it add file this motion to provide juveniles notice of this of commitment to fire to speech.
Even if the defendant's attorney agrees to go immediately to disposition?
With no notice, there is no opportunity for the juvenile or the defense counsel to be able to present the evidence against commitment. They were provided no notice, no opportunity to provide a defense, no opportunity to call witnesses, no opportunity to say that there were other options out there for appellant before being sent to YRTC, which, as the legislative history indicates, should be last resort. And should be the last resort in order to prevent this further penetration of juveniles into the system. And I think that goes back to the discretion argument that the legislator has limited this area in order to prevent instances like what happened to appellant where without any notice she's sent to YRTC. That we ask.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. You are excused. Last matter this morning is SBC versus H. Michael Cutler. Sure. And Judge Pirtle is recused from this matter. Judge Bishop will be sitting in for Judge Pirtle.